We are on Gimel Lamed Aleph, towards the bottom. We're starting a new Mishnah. Oh, I didn't put the screen on. Thank you. Let's just put the screen on.
New Mishnah.
Yeah. And the screen is frozen.
Yeah.
It's not letting me move
right now.
A chance to read it first.
I think this iPad is on the way out. I've had this iPad at least for 5 years.
Yeah,
and that's more than the life expectancy of an, and I use it a lot too. So
that's what they allow it to last.
Whatever. So it's freezing more, it's being harder to charge. All these things are okay, back in business now. All right, this is a very nice what are you gonna call it?
Compact,
and it's not overly hard and not overly simple. It works really nicely. We're going to come up with another case where we have Edim Zomim, and there's a problem of how to impose the punishment on the witnesses, or at least we have to come up with an idea for this. Okay, so Me'idim, this is what they testified, and they were afterwards found to be liars. Me'idim ani ba'ish ploni. We testify about a certain fellow. Shuchayev lechavero elef zuz. He owes his friend 1,000 zuz, like $1,000. But what was the kid? And there's no argument about that. But the argument is going to be on the term of the loan.
Okay.
And they say, the witnesses say, that the term of the loan is amenas litnan lo, on the condition that he'll repay it back, mikan, from today, let's say today was the loan, vatshloshiyom, for 30 days. So the witness testified it was a 30-day loan. Let's say there was this loan on May 1st, and the witnesses come on May 15th, and they say that this loan that this fellow had for 1,000 zuz, the term was 30 days, he has to pay back 30 days.
Yeah. Just put it in writing.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yes, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Yes, but who, Omer? But the borrower says, no, no, no. The terms were mikan va'ad eser shanim, a 10-year term to pay back the money. Okay, well, then the witnesses were found to be zomimim. They were liars, and it was a 10-year term. So let's think about that for a minute. Did they cause him to lose any money directly in terms of the repayment of the loan? Directly?
No.
However, now I'm going to say, since the defendant admits to owing the money, the damage the Zomim would have caused him had their testimony been accepted is not the entire 1,000 zuz. The only difference between having to repay 1,000 zuz within 30 days and being able to repay them after 10 years.
Yeah.
There is some financial value to being able to hold on to money for 10 years without having to repay.
No interest.
Well, but then again, Jews don't charge interest. Jews don't charge interest. It wasn't a case where it was with interest, and then you have interest payments built in, and then we can easily calculate what it is. So now what do we do? I mean, they've done something. They were planning on doing some type of damage to the fellow. So this is what we do. Omdim, we assess. Kama adam rotza litein. How much would a person give, let's say, a non-Jew, right? The yiu biyada elef zuz, to have 1,000 zuz in his possession, the difference between the nosin mikan vad lamed yom, whether it's a 30-day loan, whether it's a $1,000 loan or it's a 10-year loan, what would a person be willing to pay to have money accessible for 10 years minus 30 days? What would he be willing to pay? Now, well, that's a good question. I don't know.
It's incredible. They had time value money concept back then.
Why should that be incredible? It's been here from before. God knows it all.
Last time.
This type of payment by the borrower to the lender would seem to be interest on a loan, which the Torah prohibits. This, however, has no bearing on the payment that the Zomim incur. The amount a person would pay for the privileged use of sum of money were there not a prohibition against interest, is the real worth of that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the value of the damage the Zomim wished to inflict on the accused. That's one way. Ritva indicates a different method of valuation. An assessment is made as to how much the lender would be willing to deduct from the principal owed him to have the debt repaid within 30 days instead of 10 years. Let's say I lend you 1,000 zuz for 10 years and I agree to everyone does. Then you kind of say, let's say the lender starts having some cash flow problems. So he can go to the borrower and says, I can't force you to pay me back within soon. But if you do, how much is it worth it to you? And that is not interest. That's the opposite of interest. So listen, okay, if you can pay me back right away, how much would you be willing to pay me back? 9,000, whatever. So that's something that doesn't have to do with interest, and that's a reasonable thing. This avoids the problem of an assessment based on a prohibited payment of interest. However, Rambam indicates the method set forth in the text. Okay, so I don't know. You'd have to now speak to financial analysts during every specific time in economic times, because some years it's worth more, some years it's worth less. So that's something that would have to be decided in that. So that's what they pay in terms of that. So we have a solution, no machlokas. You just have to go and figure it out. Good, very simple Mishnah. The Gemara now is going to go on a topic unrelated to Eidim Zomimim, but then in the midst, it's going to bring a proof from our Mishnah to the issue that they're going to deal with. So we're leaving Eidim Zomimim for a while and going to another topic, but our Mishnah will be relevant in that. So it's a little different. Everything else we've been dealing with until now has been all Eidim Zomimim. Mishnah, Gemara, everything's Eidim Zomimim. We're going to be leaving Eidim Zomimim. Let me also tell you that we're going to learn it, and then everyone's going to say, we have another version of the very same story. Version A will be a rabbi saying a certain halacha, and then we're going to ask a question from the Mishnah on his position, and they're going to answer it. So version B of what that same rabbi said, the exact opposite, they're going to use the Mishnah as a proof to what he said, and then say it's not a proof. So there's two ways there's two versions Gemara has in terms of what a certain rabbi said. And it's going to be relevant to the laws of Shemitah. Okay, now what do we know about Shemitah? Well, you have to let the land lay fallow during the seventh year, but there's another very important law that is what? No, that's Yovel. That all loans are canceled. Are canceled. Okay, so if I lend you 1,000 zuz for a 10-year term, you already see where this is going. So then what happens to that loan in the Shemitah year? Is it even possible to have you could have a 10-year, but it's going to be useless if Shemitah, which is you don't have to wait longer than 7 years for Shemitah to come. So that's going to be the issue over here. So let's see what's going on over here.
No one should ever make a loan for more than
You can renew it for that term. In 7 years, we renew the loan for 3 years.
Yeah, but what about a 10-year loan?
We renew it for 3 years.
That's where we get those.
We're going to get into that too.
Okay.
Obviously, would be sensible that the longest loan you should ever make is six. Because seven already gets canceled after 6 years and 1 day. So let's see. So that's the issue at hand over here. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says this is version A. There's going to be a version B, the exact opposite. He's like this: Hamalva eschaveiro leeser shanim. Person lends someone money for 10 years, and in the process, in the midst, Shemitah comes involved. He rules here. Shvis mishamato. The seventh sabbatical year cancels it out. Yeah. Let's take a look at the pasuk. Very important. V'zed dvar hashmita. This is the matter regarding this shmita. Shemot kol bal mashe yedo. Let every creditor relinquish the claim, Asher Yashibreo, that he claims against his fellow. Here's the critical word now. Lo yigos. That's the word you want to focus on. He may not press Esrael his fellow, Vesachiv and his brother, Ki karash mitel Hashem, for he has proclaimed, Hashem has proclaimed, a relinquishment into Hashem. So you cannot press him, and we're saying the Shemitah is shamot, it's relinquished. So Reb Yudah states that even in a case in which the loan is not due until after the next Shemitah will pass, such as where the date of repayment is 10 years hence, the loan is still canceled at the close of the 7th year. Now look at some of the words over there. Torah saying you cannot press him.
He can pay it others.
You cannot press him. All right? So let's just keep that all in mind. So he says the 7th year relinquishes, it's canceled, and he was pretty foolish to lend someone something for 10 years. Moving up to Gimel Amid Beis, and here's the Chiddush. Even though since it's a 10-year term, dehashta, that now, in the 7th year, really we could not apply what the verse says, lo karinan bay, we can't apply to the creditor, lo yigos, he shall not press him. Why? Because he can't press him anyway in the Shemitah year.
That's right.
Because it's a 10-year loan.
That's right.
Right. No, when it's a regular loan, let's say it's a 1-year loan and the guy hasn't paid you. Then after the year, you're pressing him. Right? Let's say it was a loan well before the Shemitah is supposed to come. Well before. Right? And the guy's going to pay back. And say, well, I don't have money. So you start pressing him. Now, he's pressing him before the Shemitah. And you're going to press him during the Shemitah. Torah says, no, you can't press him during the Shemitah.
No.
It would seem that that point is something that's pressable during Shemitah would be relinquished. That's what we think. So his Chiddush is, even though it's a 10-year term, that's not going to come up till after Shemitah, still, and we don't, he can't press him for it. So, but at the end of the day, even though he's not pressing him in the Shemitah year, Osi Liday, it will eventually be subject to lo yigos, he may not press. He's going to press after the Shemitah, but if the Shemitah would have knocked it off, then he wouldn't be able to press.
No.
So Torah is saying, you relinquish the debt, and therefore you can't press.
Right.
So we might have thought, well, only if something that I could press during the Shemitah gets relinquished. You might have thought, if I can't press him, it won't get relinquished. He's saying, no, it's going to get pressed. Come on, wake up. It's going to get pressed during that later, and we can't allow that to happen once the Shemitah is passed. Let's see the commentary here. It means as follows. The prohibition, he may not press, is juxtaposed in the Torah with the command to cancel all debts. I just showed that to you. The debts are canceled. You cannot press. What's the point? This juxtaposition implies that the two are linked. And the commandment to cancel applies only when the prohibition not to press two is in effect. Consequently, if it could be said that the prohibition against pressing for the debt's collection does not apply to a 10-year loan because it's in any case not collectible in the 7th year, the law of cancellation will also not apply. That's what we would have thought. Rabbi Yehuda teaches, however, that the prohibition against pressing does apply to a 10-year loan because the Torah does not mean to forbid pressing the debtor now, at the time the cancellation takes effect. Rather, it means to forbid pressing him when the loan comes due, whenever that may be, because the passage of Shemitah will already cancel the loan beforehand. So that's the one way to learn the pasuk,
right,
that the loans are relinquished, and any debt is now can never be pressed anymore.
Right.
Not to say that it can't be pressed during Shemitah. Okay, so he's saying the meaning is it's relinquished and you can never ever press any more on that, even if you couldn't press it during the Shemitah. That's how this version of Reuven and Shmuel understands the pasuk, and therefore it gets knocked off. We're going to see a different version a little bit later today. Okay, clear. Now, let us see if you could figure out now to ask a question on that position from our Mishnah. Let's go over and refresh our memory of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Adim Zomim said it was a 30-day loan instead of a 10-year low.
How can you calculate the difference?
One second. Instead of it, the guy said it was a 10-year loan. They say it's a 30-day loan. What do you pay? You pay the difference, what the guy was willing to take to have the loan go longer.
Yeah.
If you hold that Shemitah knocks it off, you tell me what the Mishnah should have said.
The difference between Shemitah and 30 days.
The seventh year.
I think I heard the right answer over there. The whole loan. Why? When the guy says he lent me for 10 years, what is he really saying? I never have to pay the loan.
That's right.
The 1,000 zoos, I'm not going to have to pay it. When they say it's a 30-day loan, no, you got to pay the $1,000. So the mission just said, well, yeah, the mission's assuming, yeah, you're going to pay the $1,000. You're only paying the difference of being able to hold on to the money for 10 years. Yeah. What do you mean the difference? The false witnesses will say, the guy who says it's a 10-year loan, I borrowed it 8 years. He's saying, and I'll never have to pay it because Shemitah will knock it off. And if they say it's a 30-day loan, they say, no, you're going to have to pay it. And if they're liars, what were they doing? They were going to make him pay the whole loan that he would not have had to pay. So that must be a contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He can't go against the Mishnah.
Yeah.
That is exactly what the Gemara is going to ask. Masi Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana asks on Rav, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda.
Yeah.
Mishnah says, just quoting the Mishnah we just had, Omdim, we evaluate in the case of the debate if it's a 10-year loan or a 30-day loan. Kamadam Reitzelitain, how much was the person willing to pay? View Elef Zuz Biyaru, he has 1,000 Zuz in his hands. What? For that period of time. Bain, the difference between Bain Lite Mikan Vad Lamed Yom, the difference between a 30-day loan. Bain Lite Mikan Vad Esrabes, or the difference between a 10-year loan. That's what the Mishnah said. But according to you, Shmuel Amarav, the E Amrit Shvish Misham Matal, if you're going to say on a 10-year loan, Shemitah knocks it off. And the false witnesses say it's not a 10-year loan, so therefore what should they be paying? Not just the difference between the time of borrowing it, but kulanami boy shlumale. But they should have to pay the entire debt, because their false testimony would have improperly forced them to repay the loan. Why does the Mishnah say they only pay the difference between holding on to the money and not the entire loan? According to their testimony, that's a 30-day loan, the debt falls due at 30 days well before the next Shemitah. Thus, the entire 1,000 zuz can be collected before that time. As claimed by the borrower ever, the debt is not due for 10 years, which according to Rabbi Yehuda means that it can never be collected since the debt will be canceled by Shemitah before falling due. Good question. Okay, can anybody think? Well, you did go to figure out the question, so let's see if you can go to try to figure out an answer. Maybe, yeah, but maybe the Mishnah is speaking about a particular case or two where maybe Shemitah wouldn't apply.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we have today? The Iska is something?
Not Iska, but you're close. What? The Prusbol.
Oh, that's...
The Prusbol. If you recall, the last time we had a Shemitah year, which was a couple years ago, many people signed documents. What are those documents? It's called a Prusbol. Okay? That also was the beginning of the bowl season. Started, the bowl, college football, bowl games. You had the Prusbol. Okay? The Prusbol. Okay? So not only did we have economics, we had all the bowls, but the kosher bowls. Anyway, that's for Paul. Okay, anyway, so you have a case, we're able to create a scenario, there's two situations where Shemitah will not knock off loans. And that's coming up, and that's where we're going to say our Mishnah is speaking in a unique case where one of these two things were done so Shemitah would not knock it off. Rehuda and Shmuel is speaking about a loan where the person did not do those two things. In other words, if you don't do these two things, Shemitah knocks it off. But if you do these two things, Shemitah doesn't knock it off. So our Mishnah that says you should look at the difference in payment the guy did one of those two things, so Shemitah is not an issue. Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, he's speaking in the case where you didn't do those two things. So now we're going to know what are these two things. Rava says, I'll tell you what our Mishnah is speaking about, and that's why Shemitah is not an issue in either one of two scenarios. Either B'malva L'mashkin, the guy lends on a collateral. The guy lends with security. Here's 1,000 zoos. It's a 10-year loan. Meshuggener, why are you making a 10-year loan on a... Shmuel's going to knock it off. He says, not a problem. If you don't pay me back, I want a collateral. Give me that 1,000 zoos watch you have.
Okay,
I'm just going to hold on to it. That's all I'm going to do. When you pay me back, you're going to get the 1,000 zoos watch. That's all. Now, if you don't, it's mine.
Simple.
It's mine. That's all. And that's the terms of the deal. So now, Shemitah comes along. So, yeah, you want Shemitah to knock it off? Not a problem. But, and what can't I do?
I'm not giving you back.
No, what does the Torah say? I can't do during Shemitah? I can't press. I'm not pressing you. I got the collateral. I took the collateral. It's like I have the collateral. I own that collateral until you pay me back. So fine, you don't pay me back, the loan's out, fine. But I already have the collateral, and I'm not pressing you.
But if the Shemitah cancels the loan, then how can you still...
Collateral should be given back.
It should, yeah.
No, the Shemitah means I can't collect the loan.
You want to enforce it.
Yeah. Collect the loan.
I can't, that's why it says you can't press.
Want to enforce it, huh?
It's gone, and you can't press. I'm not pressing. Yeah. In other words, when you give me the collateral... The collateral's mine. The collateral's mine. It's mine now. I own it. Now, I can't do it. I own it to the extent that if you don't pay me back, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go to the court and submit this and that. Oh, now we'll let you get it. It's mine. Now, I can't do anything with it. You know, I can't do anything with it because I could break it, and then I wouldn't be able to... He wouldn't get it back if he paid back the loan, but it's mine. So I'm not pressing him. You don't want to pay back, fine. I'm not going to ask for it, but I got the collateral. So that takes care of that.
Probably worth $2,000 by the end.
Who knows? Or Ubamosar Shtaros Labezdin. Or he gave the document loan over to the court. You'll see it in a minute. You can't collect the debts, but the courts can collect the debts, as we'll all see in a minute.
But in a Shemitah year,
they can collect the debts. You can't collect. It's going to explain it all in a minute. It's not, for we learn in the Mishnah the following, this is in the laws of Shemitah now. Hamalva alamashkon, a person who lends on a collateral, v'hamoser shtaros lebezdin, or he gives the documents to the bezdin, then that is the prosbol. Okay? The prosbol, what do? Before Shemitah, you sign a document in front of Beis Din, and you say, whatever loans I have given out to people, I give it over to you to collect the loan and not to me. Why was this done? This was done by Hillel. Hillel saw that people were getting too smart. They were borrowing money, and they're pushing off the creditors till Shemitah and going, ha-ha, the Shemitah... I don't have to file bankruptcy. Shemitah does it for me.
That's right.
And then what happened? People said, okay, if that's the case, we're not lending money anymore. Right. Yeah. And now people were having hardships because people weren't lending.
Right.
So therefore, Hillel came up with a way of circumventing it. And the document that the lender draws up says, basically, I submit to you so-and-so judges who are in this place that every debt due to me, I will collect whenever I wish. You'll see more in a minute. So that is the idea of the prosbol. Now, Tosos argues about this, whatever, but I'm not worried about that. But that's for, as we'll see now in the next section, when you do either one of that, ein mashmitim, the loans are not relinquished. And that's what the Mishnah is speaking about, and therefore there's not a problem of the Adim Zomim case. While Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel is speaking, where the loan was done in a way where there was no prosbol and there was no collateral. Now, let's explain a little bit more. In both cases, the prohibition does not press the borrower for payment, Okay, the prohibition not to press the borrower does not apply. When one holds collateral, he need not resort to pressing for collections, since he already holds property in lieu of the loan. Similarly, one who hands over his documents to the court before the Shemitah cancellation has no further need to press for collection, since the court collects the debt. Although he does the actual collecting, he's acting in the capacity as the court's agent. Whereas he goes to the court, and the court says, I'm giving you my loan, and you're collecting it for me. Fine. Then the Bezin says, no, we're going to collect it, but we appoint you our agent to be the collector for us who's supposed to collect it.
And then where does it go to the man?
To the guy.
Not to the
court. Well, it's effectively, when he collects it, it's the courts.
Yeah.
Since the prohibition is not applying, neither does the accompanying provisions for canceling the debts, as the Gemara explained earlier. Mm-hmm. So that's version A. View number Shmuel says a 10-year debt does get canceled by Shemitah. We asked a question from the Mishnah that would imply it didn't get canceled. To what you said, the Mishnah speaking where you did either one of these two things, taking the collateral or having the best and collect, that's what doesn't apply. All we're going to do is exactly the same thing again, all over again, just the opposite. That's all. The same thing, but the opposite. What do I mean? Yeah?
Just a quick question on the principle. Once the Beit Din, well, the guy asks his agent and collects the money is technically the Beit Din's. Now the Beit Din,
they're just collecting it for him.
Oh, they're just collecting it for him.
Yeah.
He's the agent.
All right.
It's not like they have to give it back to him because it's theirs now.
No. I'm giving you my debts to collect, and then they let him have it. Okay. Now this is now the exact opposite. Now, so it's the same thing, just the opposite. Ikadami, there's those who say that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hamalva es chaver lesser shanim, someone who lends for 10 years, ain shvish mishamato. Shmita does not knock it off. Why? Just the opposite logic. Even though in 10 years he will be approaching those two words, lo yigosh, you may not press, but that's 10 years from now. But hashta, right now in the Shmita, Mia, right now, lo karina ve'lo yigosh. It's not pressing because it's not pressable in the Shemitah. This version says we look at the Shemitah year as the year where is there something you could press in the Shemitah year? Then it gets knocked off. But if I couldn't press it in the Shemitah year, that's the difference of the two versions. So since the injunction doesn't apply at the time the cancellation should take effect because you're not pressing then, so it doesn't get canceled. So now, if that's what he said, would our Mishnah be a question on him or a proof?
Proof.
A proof.
Yes.
Because the Mishnah now is saying it doesn't get canceled. So even if they were liars, doesn't matter. The loan's still there. Mm-hmm. Even they say it's 10 years. So Rav Kahana says, Af Anan Nami. We also learned in our Mishnah that's exactly what our Mishnah says. Let's evaluate. That's what Mishnah says about what a person would pay to have the money for ten years. What he would pay the difference between having the thousand zuz for 10 years or 30 days. Now, the amrit shmita is mishamto. If you're going to say the shmita knocks it off, you should pay the whole thing. But Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel is saying Shemitah doesn't knock it off, so it's very good. So it's a proof. So now we're going to say it's not a proof. Why? Because maybe the Mishnah is speaking where you employed one of these two things, and that's why it doesn't knock it off. Okay? Amarava says it's not necessarily a proof. It's not going to be a question, but it's possible that the Mishnah is speaking in a case. The case is speaking in Melval Amashkin, where you borrowed it on a collateral. Or you gave the documents over to the Bezin. That's why it's collectible. And maybe it's not a proof of Shmuel, because he's saying it doesn't cancel it out. So the reason maybe over there didn't cancel out because he did those two things. d'itznan, for we learned in the Mishnah, hamal ve'al hamashkar, a person lends money with a collateral, v'amos reshtar shalbeisin, or gives his the documents of loan to the bezin to collect, ein mishamtim, it does not relinquish it. So, b'kitzer, that's the end of this sugya. So we have a machlokas, two versions, what did Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel say? Did he say that that Shemitah does knock it off? Or did he say it does not knock it off? That's a debate. What was the tradition? If you say he knocked it off, it knocks off, then the Mishnah was a question on him, because then the Eidim Zom should have paid the entire amount, to which Gemara answers, no, the Mishnah could be speaking in a case where it was a collectible debt through Shemitah, because either a collateral was taken or a principal was made. Mm-hmm. Version B says, remember Shmuel says, Shemitah does not knock it off. To which Gemara then would have said that the Mishnah is a proof to him, to which Gemara then says not necessarily a proof, because maybe the Mishnah is speaking where you did those two things and therefore you couldn't collect, but maybe under could collect, well, under other circumstances you couldn't, so it's not a proof. So the Kitzer, we don't know what Yehuda Shmuel says, and we don't know if it's a question or not from the Braisa. There's two versions of that story, and the halacha is, what is the halacha like? The second version. Okay. The halacha, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that Shemitah does not knock it off. Okay. That is the final question on that.
So what the witnesses, I mean the false witnesses, have to do now? How much do they have to pay?
Just the difference between a 30-day loan and a 10-year loan. Yeah. That's all.
So you would never want to do it.
So you can do a 10-year loan.
You want to do a loan that comes due during the Shemitah.
During the Shemitah.
You never want.
You could. Yeah.
No. You don't want to do a debt that comes.
Because then.
Let's put it this way, Shelley. Even before the Shemitah, you're running that same risk. Let's say it comes due a year before Shemitah.
Yeah,
the guy hasn't paid you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, right. But you're going to do that. You don't have much of a choice. Yeah. You certainly won't want to do it to collect in the Shemitah year. But even if you're smart and did it before, it may not help you if the guy doesn't pay.
Well, you're going to enforce it.
He's still got that problem.
If he doesn't pay that year, you can press him the year after that, right?
The Shemitah year? No.
Not in the Shemitah year, but the year after that.
What is it collectible?
When was it collected?
Just tell me what it's collectible.
So collectible in the sixth year.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can press, but he's not paid it. Comes Shemitah year, he cannot press.
That's it. And then it's out, because you normally would press.
No, yeah.
It's a pressable, it's a pressable thing. Something that you could collect in theory, Shemitah knocks out.
Okay.
If it doesn't come due before Shemitah, you can't collect. So you got a problem. What happens is, what's happening in the Gemara tomorrow, the next day, all we're going to have is more state. Now that we mentioned Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, let's say a few more statements that he said that has nothing to do with Eidim Zomimim. One will deal with Shemitah, and then we're going to go far aflung with a number of his statements that has nothing to do with Eidim Zomimim at all. And just the only common denominator is, as you see, the next line says, V'omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It's more statements for Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay.